Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with a few little short articles from AARP, the magazine. The first one is under Upfront Listen, The Sideman Speaks. Stevie Van Zandt of the E Street Band examines his life in rock. It's been a confidant to two iconic bosses, Bruce Springsteen and Tony Soprano. But guitarist and actor Stevie Van Zandt, 70, has also made a name for himself as a leader of Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul. Host of the syndicated radio show Little Steven's Underground Garage, and collaborator on two Sirius XM channels. Van Zandt's newly published memoir is called Unrequited Infatuations. You first started working on your book about 15 years ago, but couldn't finish it. What changed? Answer: I just couldn't really find any kind of ending to it. The last 3 years, 17, 18, and 19, before the quarantine, were the most productive years of my life. I put all my remastered albums from the 80s, plus two new albums, plus two live packages. So I reconnected with my life's work. Question: You're a man of many names, Miami Steve, Little Steven, and yet you choose to credit the book to Stevie Van Zandt. Why? It's an arrested development thing. I ignore the reality of chronological age. I'm still somewhere between 16 and 25 in my head. Tell me about your 50-plus relationship, 50-year-plus, with Bruce Springsteen. We really did communicate friendship, which is why a band is different than a solo act. It might be Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, but it was always a band. And this interview was by Craig Rosen. Now we have a little part from Upfront Live. Turn up the heat. Cold weather is coming, but you don't need to abandon your backyard. Keep the party going with today's hot home accessory, a patio heater. How to use it? Start by considering where you want to place the unit. Remember, your space heater needs space, says Carla Crosswhite Chigbu, spokesman for the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Keep it at least 3 feet from anything combustible, including sunshades, clothing, and papers. If you opt for a propane heater, never use it indoors because it will emit carbon monoxide. More tips. Skip the strip. To reduce the risk of fires, don't use extension cords or power strips with space heaters, advises Crosswhite Chigbu. 2. Check the specs. Look for patio heaters with switches that automatically shut off in the unit if it tips over. 3. Keep watch. It's unsafe to leave patio heaters unattended, especially when pets or small children are present. How to choose? Portable or permanent? This depends mostly on your budget and your commitment to year-round outdoor living. Permanent heaters are powerful and expensive, often approaching $1,000, and should be installed professionally, raising the price further. Portable units are less pricey. Propane or electric? Portable propane models produce more heat than simple-to-use electric units, but a standard 20-pound tank empties after 10 hours of use. Next article, decorate like a pro. Now's the time to start planning your holiday strategy. Actually, it may be a little late for this, but I'm going to go ahead and read it anyway. Sure, you love those holiday decorations you and your family have had forever, but if this is the time of the year, you want to try something new. And you might want to try something new for the new year. Manuel Erzugo is here to help. As director of windows for Macy's department stores, he and his team spend 9 months planning Macy's famous holiday window displays. His tips: bring the outdoors indoors. Evergreens, pine cones, twigs, and other natural materials can liven up a holiday display. I love the sense of warmth you get and how you can smell it throughout the house. Incorporate lights everywhere. Whether it's a centerpiece, mantel display, or garlands around a railing, add more lights inside your home. Last year, I went from regular Christmas bulbs to all LED. The technology has really gone far, he says. And avoid trends. I saw a recent trend for a couple of years of black trees or silver trees. Those aren't around anymore. Instead, embrace nostalgia, classic ornaments, old photos, and big red bows. I'm talking about what we used to see as kids. And again, this is probably airing after Christmas, but think about some of these tips for the new year to brighten up those long days. Bird feeders, help or harm? You would think there could be nothing wrong with feeding birds in winter, but there's an ongoing debate about it. Pro, it's a great way to connect with wildlife. Watching birds is also relaxing and can be a stress reliever. When temperatures drop, feeders can help with bird survival and can give birds an energy boost before migration. Backyard birds may also eat insects, which many people appreciate. Con: bird feeders can expose birds to diseases, as seeds can become contaminated with droppings. Feeders also can attract disease-carrying rodents, as well as hawks and cats. Planting native plants can be a safer way to attract local birds. Now, one more article from this upfront section, and this one is tech. Harness the power. With so many devices at home, expanding outlets is a priority. Shopping for a power strip today takes almost as much research as shopping for a new appliance. And with ever more electronics in your homes, many requiring frequent recharging, outlets are at a premium. What you should consider: surge protection is a must. This feature helps your electronics keep from getting damaged in a power surge, usually storm-related. Protection is rated by joules, a measurement of energy. For computers, home theaters, and audio equipment, you should have nothing less than 2,000, says Michael Richard, director of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Construction and Maintenance Department. USB outlets are handy. Instead of plugging your phone charging cable into an outlet adapter, just plug it into one of the USB slots. They're real space savers. Consider flexibility. Oversized plugs can cover the adjacent outlets on a traditional power strip. Some strips space outlets apart or allow them to pivot. Not all are made for the floor. Easy access is key, and attractive tower-style and disc-shaped strips can sit on a table. Consider a premium purchase. Some strips come with extra safeguards and warranties for equipment damage. Don't go cheap. And also, consider something that lets you know when the surge protection is no longer effective. The real nice ones will just shut down when that happens, so you know it's time for a new one. You can use your phone as a magnifying glass. Point your camera lens and zoom in. Do you ever have a hard time reading the tiny print on labels, instructions, and other items? Turn to your phone's magnifier tool. This is the way it works. On an iPhone, open Settings and go to Accessibility. Tap Magnifier and turn it on. A magnifier app will be added to your phone's screen. Open it and aim the camera lens at an item. Move the slider to the right to zoom in closer. For an Android phone, open Settings and go to Accessibility. Tap Magnification or Visibility Enhancements and then Magnification. Turn on the switch. A small icon that looks like a person will appear in the lower right corner of the screen. Aim your phone's camera at an item. Tap the person icon. Touch the screen with your thumb and forefinger and spread them apart to zoom in. And finally, in this section, get your house off Google. How to keep the world from checking out Home Sweet Home. Would you pass around a photo of your home to the world? Google has been doing something like that with street views. Here's how to request that images of your house or car get blurred out. On Google Maps, search for your home address. Click on the image of your residence or click on the little orange man at the lower right corner of the screen and drag him to your house. Click on Report a Problem at the bottom right of the screen. Fill out the form. Google asks for descriptive information, such as the color and model of your car. Add that you are making this request because of privacy concerns. Note that blurring cannot be undone. Now let's move on to the Prevention Magazine's Find Your Calm. And we're finishing up this particular section called Mastering Mindfulness. This is about more simple ways to take a breath. Try these mindful breathing techniques from the Global Wellness Institute. And the sidebar says, mindful breathing can reduce pain, lessen symptoms associated with anxiety and with insomnia, and help regulate your emotions. So here we go. Your physical and mental wellness get a boost from controlled breathing, sometimes known as yoga breath or mindful breathing. It can reduce chronic pain, lessen the symptoms associated with anxiety, insomnia, and other concerns, and positively affect your immune system. Plus, it can help to regulate emotions, diminish impulsivity, and keep your brain extra sharp. Renee Moorfield, PhD of the Global Wellness Institute, suggests trying one or more of these conscious breathing practices. 4x8 breath. Close your eyes or softly gaze at a stationary point in front of you. Inhale to the count of 4. Briefly pause at the top, then exhale to the count of 8. Repeat this short breathing exercise at least 4 times. Take notice of the calming effects this has on your mind, energy, body, and emotions once you are done. Breath of alignment. While closing your eyes or softly gazing at a point in front of you, inhale fully and gently lift the crown of your head toward the sky. Now exhale completely while inviting your hips to sink into your seat. While elongating your spine, allow it to be flexible rather than rigid as you breathe. Repeat this breathing cycle at least 4 times. And finally, heart-centered breath. Close your eyes or rest your gaze on a stationary point in front of you. Place one or both hands in the middle of your chest. Allow this touch to reconnect you with your heart, its rhythm and beat, or the qualities of loving kindness, gratitude, and peace. Then, for the next 5 to 10 minutes, breathe mindfully. Keep your awareness at your heart center and your breaths effortless and even. Now we're going back to AARP, the magazine, for a few more odds and ends. This one is under the heading of Money Saver. For sale, cemetery plots. Two women learn that the demand for grave sites is weaker than it used to be. And this is Jean Chatsky to the rescue. She's the author. The problem, what do you do with burial plots you'll never use? Two different readers asked me that question recently. 23 years ago, Jan Lorco, now 65, and her husband purchased 2 mausoleum crypts in Ohio. No longer married, neither one wants them. Finances are tight for both my ex and me, Lorco says. Diana Wilson Wing, 63, is trying to sell 2 plots in Anchorage, Alaska, for her 100-year-old mother, as well as a crypt in Baytown, Texas, bought by her late aunt. Both Lorco and Wing want to unload these sites. But how? The advice. One reason it's hard to dispose of burial sites and why cemeteries are reluctant to buy them back is the rise of cremations, which today outnumber burials and which cost an average of 40% less. I would guess that there are hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, of graves that will never be used, says Joshua Slocum, executive director of the Funeral Consumers Alliance. I asked industry experts and others for advice to give Lorco and Wing. 1. Reach out to the cemetery. You'll need some answers and some paperwork. First, find out whether you're allowed to sell a site on the secondary market and how helpful the cemetery will be. If you choose to go with a broker, more on this in a moment, will the cemetery work with them? The cemetery isn't making money from a secondhand sale, Slocum says. Some are more cooperative than others. Is there a transfer fee? If so, how much? Maybe the grave can be double depth, a good selling point. What are similar sites selling for? Get a copy of the deed if you don't have one and keep a record of all your correspondence with the cemetery. For a longer checklist, go to thecemeteryexchange.com and click on Things to Know and Do Before You List. Wing found out that the Alaska Cemetery could list her two plots, charging a transfer fee of $225 per transaction. 2. Consider a broker. Several companies, including PlotBrokers.com and GraveSolutions.com, will, for a fee and possibly a commission, list your property and manage a sale. You can also handle the transaction yourself by listing a grave on websites like the Cemetery Exchange, Gravesales.com, and even eBay. Lorco, who had already listed with Plot Brokers, put her sites on the Cemetery Exchange. 3. Price it right. Go at least 20% below the cemetery's current price, even lower if possible. If your pricing is too close to the cemetery's, there's no incentive, says Maureen Walton, owner of the Cemetery Exchange. Lorco, whose crypts are valued by the cemetery at $21,000, priced them at $12,500 on Plot Brokers and $17,000 on the Cemetery Exchange, in part to recoup additional expenses that she had incurred. 4. Expect scammers. Criminals will reach out and try to get your personal financial information, warns Walton. Phone calls tend to be more genuine than emails or texts, she says. 5. Give it away. If all else fails, and if money isn't an issue, you can donate a plot to a nonprofit such as a religious congregation, a local veterans group, or a charity that aids the homeless. To get a tax deduction, you'll need an appraisal, which a cemetery or broker may supply for a fee. The outcome? Eventually, it comes down to waiting, and waiting, and often waiting some more. As of this writing, Lorco hasn't sold her sites. Wing, who needs to locate proof that she's her aunt's heir, hasn't listed her sites yet. Patience is key. And let this be a lesson about buying a burial plot long before you'll need it. This real estate can be as hard to shake free of as death itself. Now, also from AARP the magazine, let's look at some Latino American icons. Congress recently approved the creation of the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Latino. But whom will be the planners, or whom will the planners include? We asked experts to name the most inspiring and influential Americans who have Hispanic roots. Here are some of their top picks. We won't be able to do them all today, of course, but we'll start with the first one, Roberto Clemente, 1934 to 1972. Baseball Hall of Fame right fielder and humanitarian, born in Puerto Rico. And this is by Manny Sangreland, Major League catcher and Clemente's teammate. When you're a famous ball player, life is filled with all kinds of temptations. One of the reasons Roberto Clemente was such an amazing athlete was that he never abused his body. He took care of himself, and that's how he won the Gold Glove Award for 12 consecutive seasons. Roberto was the best of friends. He taught me about baseball and life in general. He spent most of his time off-season doing charity work, delivering food and supplies to countries in need. He'd travel with his wife to Nicaragua and was mortified by the poverty there. "I want to help out the poor," he told me. On December 31, 1972, he was flying back to Managua when his plane crashed. I later heard that it had been overloaded with goods. I would like to think he never felt the crash, that he went straight to heaven. When I found out about the accident, I dived into the waters near where it had been, trying to find his remains. I wasn't surprised when the Pittsburgh Pirates retired his uniform, number 21. People always ask me if his death devastated me. Even today, I think of him as still alive. In a way, he has never left. And this interview was as told to Ernesto Lechner. Now let's take a look at Dolores Huerta, born in 1930. American labor leader and human rights activist, co-founder with Cesar Chavez of United Farm Workers. She's a New Mexico native. And this was by Carlos Santana, a rock musician and activist. When you hear Dolores Huerta, you immediately think hope and courage. She has no fear of doing something no one has done before. In the 1960s and 70s, she and Cesar Chavez demanded humane working conditions for farm workers and the right for them to organize. Dolores' mission is to establish equality, fairness, and justice, but also to help people believe in their own superpowers. The chant that she created and that stays with everybody, including Barack Obama, is "Ici se puede," yes, it can be done. She is able to ignite people to believe in their own self-worth. I want to put Dolores in the highest light so everyone in the world, especially women, can be empowered by her indomitable spirit. She's unmatched in her energy, and she uses it to organize on behalf of women, Latinos, and LGBTQIA people, and for better education and health for all. I have never met a person with more perseverance, gentleness, and class, and dignity. She's a machete, and she's a beam of light. And this interview was as told to Julia Lobaco. And finally, from this section, Lupe Serrano, born in 1930. Celebrated prima ballerina and ballet teacher, born in Chile, immigrated to the U.S. at age 20. And this article was by Kevin McKenzie, artistic director of American Ballet Theater. Before meeting Lupe in person, I had seen her perform. She had a mystique about her that enchanted me. She represented the coexistence of artistry and technical proficiency, and it was evident how devoted she was to the authenticity of character. As a dancer, she was a true artist in that respect. During her professional career, she became the bridge between two eras of classical ballet, and she was the first Hispanic principal dancer ever to dance with American Ballet Theatre in New York City. She always sought the humanity in a role. Ballet technique, the foundation and grammar of the language, was something Lupe excelled in. She is the quintessential ballerina in that regard, an absolute icon. In performance, she was known as a technician with great skill and artistry. In the studio, she was a citizen who was advocating for the truth of the form. And this was as told to Mario Alberto Zambrano. Next, we're going to start on a series of articles, "The Trip That Changed My Life." These are a few snapshots of people's famous or favorite trips. Six people share travel experiences that transform them, plus the destinations they can't wait to visit. We're going to start with Henry Winkler. Smith River, Montana. To the actor, 75, a river brought an almost divine joy. It was the first time I went fly fishing on the Smith River in Montana. My wife, Stacy, and I spent 5 days there with a couple of friends. I am desperate to be able to explain the sheer joy it brought me. The closest I've come to the divine is on a river. We would fish, have lunch and dinner on the bank, sleep on the bank. You see bald eagles or a moose. The sound of the rushing water lapping against your waders or the boat makes anything you've worried about just dissipate. Mostly you concentrate on the trout because you have to be patient. You have to play the trout. You have to tire it out. When you land it, you take a picture. You say, thank you. You give it a kiss, and you put them back for next year so that he or she can grow, and we can do it all over again. You put your palms up and think, how was this possible? And on his to-go list, while I'm still able and hungry for travel, I would like to go to Italy and eat my way from Rome to Milan. After that, maybe walk up and down the streets in Lyon, France, and eat all of that. Now, with the very few minutes we have left, let's look at a few milestone birthdays. Snoop Dogg, October 20th, rapper and entrepreneur, has released two wines, Snoop Cali Red and Snoop Cali Rosé, and Snoop Dogg is 50. Wynton Marsalis, October 18th, jazz legend, calls the genre's inclusive improv style a metaphor for democracy. Meg Ryan, November 19th, actress lives in the ritzy Montecito, California neighborhood of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. She's also 60. John Mellencamp, October 7th, musician, is working on his 25th album and dating after his 2019 split with Meg Ryan. He is 70. And finally, a few more short quips from my friend in Canada. I made a huge to-do list for today. I just can't figure out who's going to do it. The fact that there's a highway to hell and only a stairway to heaven says a lot about anticipated traffic numbers. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.